Welcome back to our sixth module on what's new in System Center 2012 R2 Jumpstart. I'm Simon Perryman, Technical Evangelist, and I'm joined once again by Brandon Matheson, one of our Product Marketing Managers from the System Center team. Now, today we're currently covering IT Service Management, and up to this point we've really kind of built the foundation with our infrastructure, with our monitoring, and now with our automation. But this is the next layer. This is really trying to drive efficiency throughout our entire IT department, focusing on System Center Service Manager as its primary data warehouse for knowledge, for things such as incidents, changes, problems, you know, pretty much anything related to this IT infrastructure library concept, also known as ITIL. Now, we're going to spend a little longer kind of covering some of these basic definitions of ITIL, but before we get to that, Brandon, why don't you kind of give us more of an overview of what else we're going to cover in this module?
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Simon. So the things that we want to cover today are definitely going to be more focused on how we align System Center with the ITIL processes that you're probably most familiar with today. So the things that I want to make sure that we cover are definitely going to be what we call SLA insights and analysis. That's thinking about how do we actually provide more insight in the decision-making process to the enterprise, IT to the enterprise. Then we want to think about standardized service delivery. We want to standardize those processes to make sure that we're delivering them in a repeatable fashion, to make sure that they're going to be consistent process for both the IT management team as well as for users. Then we want to think about all of those processes that fall under our ITIL processes that we're going to cover in System Center. We're not going to cover all 26 or so processes that are out there, but we're definitely going to touch on the top ones that are really prevalent within the environment. And then we want to think about OLA insights and analysis, and that's the operational level of agreements that are out there, and that's thinking about IT back to itself, not IT back to the enterprise. So let me first start with IT service management and what this means from what IT demands and what the enterprise expects of IT in terms of how they deliver services. And we want to make sure that we're enabling a self-service experience, and we want to make sure that we're providing a way for users to consume those services. We want to make sure that we integrate people, process, and knowledge into that as well. And that's not just the technology itself. In fact, many times it may have been technology agnostic prior to now. Now we're actually bringing in that process to really enable and enhance the experience with the technology. And then we want to make sure that we have an efficient resource utilization and reporting mechanism in place there. So what do we deliver across each one of those three is definitely going to be around one. From a self-service experience, we want to make sure that our service catalog is solid, that our offerings are solid, that they're robust, that they're performant. We want to make sure that we're thinking about what we call a cloud services process pack, which is really lights up Service Manager with the private cloud, kind of private cloud deliverable. And then we want to make sure that from a people process perspective that we're thinking about those automated workflows that we'll see an incident, problem, change, release, etc. And that's captured again in that common term that we're hearing, the Configuration Management Database, the CMDB. That's the heartbeat for processes and policies. Then from a business and insight perspective, we want to think about the functionality with chargeback, and I want to make sure that we really show off what that brings and what enables customers to be able to provide more insights and a better decision-making process back to the enterprise. Okay. So again, we may have seen this before, and we want to make sure that we continue to touch on is what is the service management layer for System Center within the enterprise stacked on top of Windows Server. And that's going to be thinking about release management, change management, self-service, as well as reporting and incident management. Those processes together are enabled with Orchestrator Automation and Service Manager, that Service Manager database.
Now, I'm not an ITIL guy, and I'm sure we have a lot of people out there that really don't have that deep ITIL experience. Can you just quickly help me understand the difference between release management and change management?
Okay. So release management is all about, think about the very first step in the process when I need to think about a process or a service that I'm going to deploy to the enterprise. Release management is all about how do I actually get that process enabled and get that out the door so that my users can take advantage of it. Change management is about after something's in place already, what changes need to occur? That could be capacity, that could be provisioning, could be configuration, could be a number of different attributes of an existing service or an existing environment that's in play already.
So is this where the CMDB can help us? Because if we make a change to one component in our environment, let's say a particular router, we need to figure out what's connected to it and how that will have down-level impact.
That is correct. So CMDB is what captures that process, and then we start to apply many of our rules, our internal rules, our unique steps back to that process that says, okay, here's where we release, here's what steps we have to follow for release, then here's where we need to implement some change if there's some components that are in play already. So that's what enables that. That's exactly right. So all of those steps together, processes, we have our automation and integration layers, and the integration is, again, where we start to think about all the System Center components, whether it be configuration manager, operations manager, virtual machine manager, data protection manager, integrating with service manager and orchestrator, as well as third-party tools sitting on top of Windows Server, is where we really can take advantage of this holistic approach of managing a more efficient data center. So what are some things that we really want to touch on? Key three areas in terms of IT service management that helps us better manage those requirements and drive better outcomes is all about being able to deploy services quickly, be able to scale the infrastructure, being able to manage and maintain service level agreements. Service level agreements within the enterprise is golden. When IT can meet what the enterprise expects or even exceed those expectations, that's when we really start to show the value and benefit of a seamless data center that may span across multiple clouds or a data center that's been configured optimally, whether that be from the virtualized layer or even the physical layer. Forecasting data insights, that's how we can now start to take advantage of the rich BI and the data explosion that's happening within the enterprise. We know more and more that IT is getting flooded with more data from numerous amount of sources. We want to be able that we manage that and be able to provide more insights around utilization, usage, consumption, trending, and then start to forecast what we anticipate could potentially happen over the next 6, 12, 18, 2 years, even 5 years, if that's so be the case for many enterprises. Then we can think about cost savings. How have we been able to reduce errors and reduce our cost or our spend within the enterprise from a physical perspective? Okay. So what do we deliver in terms of this? Is now integration across the platform helps us to be able to take advantage of that and have those insights. Then we can take advantage of who are our business units and our users and what are their expectations. Every unit, as we know, has a different project going on at a different time. But for IT, that's a continual cycle of always being in a rush or in a project or in a firestorm, whatever the case may be. So now we're able to simplify that and provide more seamless approach or consistent approach to delivering services. Then the efficiency. Efficiency is king when we can make sure that we reduce downtime, because we want to make sure that services are always available, highly available, that they're resilient, that they're reliable, and that users can always depend on having responses and an expected time frame from IT.
And I think, you know, going on that point of, service availability, as we tie automation in, we provide even higher service availability. Literally, as soon as something crashes, as long as we have a series of standardized steps to fix it, we can, you know, bring it back online automatically. So there's no longer this long process of, you know, call somebody up on the phone, have them go to the data center to fix it. We're hopefully at a point where as soon as something goes down, we can bring it back online. So we really hope that is the value that we're adding here. You know, not just providing better availability, but providing continual availability with this 360-degree monitoring.
And Simon, I'll take you a step further that not just when those services go down, but before they go down,
even better,
proactive, because now I can start to set through monitoring and through real-time connectivity with my automation and with my integration, I'm able to know when I'm reaching a threshold before I've reached it. I don't want to know after I've been fully consumed or I'm at full capacity. I want to know when I'm 20% away from being out of touch with whatever resources I need to be in charge of. Okay. So SLA Insights. And this is about providing better and intelligent reports for decisions that key leadership needs to make over time. And that's whether it be in IT or within the business units themselves. And that is, what is the information that IT needs? They need to understand usage and performance. They need to understand what is the effect on my workloads. My workloads are critical to whatever my business is delivering to back to the market. I need to understand my infrastructure costs. I need to understand trends and forecasting based on those given projects, perhaps what's happening today or what I know about in the future. So what am I going to use to take advantage of that? And I have some rich reporting that we're now starting to be able to light up within SharePoint through some dashboarding and the BI Intelligence Center, as well as through Excel dashboards and taking advantage of rich reporting that I can start to think about my users per resource, per cost center, per activity, whatever the case may be, and even having insights in what those incidents may be. So, a big one that I want to touch on, and this is something that is very dear to the market in terms of what chargeback capabilities are out there, and it's something that's becoming more prevalent as IT wants to get a handle on recapturing its costs or recuperating some costs it may be spending in resources. So there are three key areas that we're driving within our chargeback solution that we'll see within Service Manager. And the key things that we want to do, we want to drive behavior management. We want to make sure that we have the technical features within the product, and then we want to make sure that we have the business capability to be able to deliver a long, sustainable solution that will continue to grow over time. So why behavior management? And this is something that's kind of different in the approach that we've taken. It's not that I necessarily need to get my resources back from as an IT provider. It's not that I need my VMs back. It's not that I need my hardware back. It's to ensure that as we move to a cloud infrastructure, when those services are requested, when those services are provisioned, you know as a user, as a business unit, that I need to retain or recapture those resources at some point in time and that you need to give them back. Okay? When that happens, that balances between what the needs are versus the resources. I have a better sense of what is needed, what needs to be provisioned, what is my capacity planning strategy over time. So that's very critical. The next thing is, because I'm able to monitor its usage, because I can understand the pricing versus my cost, I'm able to share that with those business units so that they know I know exactly what I need to provision. I know exactly what I need to request. Too many times within the environment, we've over-provisioned and we've underutilized. I can't tell you how many resources may be sitting in a back office somewhere that have not been touched in a long period of time, but yet we've procured more hardware because we didn't know that those resources could be freed up for other sources, for other reasons. Let's say development. Let's go back to our scenario earlier. Development needed to spin up a new project. Let's say we're creating a product, we're developing an application, and we need a small set of resources for 6 months. Now, I don't want to go buy new hardware, but I know that I'm able to retain hardware or resources, virtualized resources over time that I don't have to worry about because I'm able to capture that. So ultimately, business planning is key, and building out the infrastructure, having planning and insight is key to that as well. So chargeback, let me just quickly explain what this looks like. And I have kind of a schematic to kind of show this process from beginning to end. And if you have questions, I can definitely step back and capture some of those. But first we have our business unit, our business user. This can be an end user. This can be a department, whatever the case may be. And the key element here is the VM itself. And right now within our chargeback solutions is dependent upon our connectivity with VMM and ops manager and operations manager. So within the VM, we're going to capture storage, compute, and memory. And when a business user makes the request, it's based on allocation. not reservation, it's allocation. So once that request is being requested, it's being provisioned, the timer starts ticking. And the pieces that I'm going to be capturing within Virtual Machine Manager are usage, resources, and roles. And within Virtual Machine Manager, as we saw earlier, we've been able to capture information about the tenant. And this is where we've now introduced the tenant to enable cloud resources and consumption of cloud resources. Okay, that connectivity is then dumped into Service Manager, or what we know as the data warehouse. And that's where we're able to have that information marry with the request from the business user. Because they've requested a VM, we're going to apply some quotas, we're going to apply some leases, some approvals. And now that request has gone in, and I've assigned some developer a VM. And now I can capture that VM. But what happens with that information? That information goes into the chargeback process at that point in time. We're going to analyze that data. We're going to create a price sheet for that. And that's where I can specify what the unique price is for a VM for that user. I can have multiple price sheets for a varying amount of users. Some users have access to one type of cloud, the cloud that we created in VMM. A different user may have access to a different cloud that we want to make sure that they have access to, and I can apply a different price sheet to it. This is how you start to introduce, let's say, discounts or a reduced cost for one team versus another. Let's say if there's some unique agreements going on within the enterprise, we want to make sure that we account for that. So then I'm going to apply that price sheet, generate some reports, but how are we going to surface those reports? Two key elements, Excel and SharePoint. Okay, and then have that user that's in the Service Manager portal, we're able to have those requests, then I'm able to render an Excel or SharePoint experience.
Now, as we kind of look at, actually billing customers, in a large enterprise, oftentimes they won't actually do that chargeback. So we often talk about showback. Could you kind of distinguish these two concepts for us?
That's a very good question. So within the chargeback scenario, there is the element of showback. That is, I'm not actually asking for money back from you. I'm not asking for you to pay me, enterprise group number one. I'm asking that here's a report of what you've actually consumed, who consumed it, who requested it, how much has been consumed, and perhaps maybe even some purpose on why that occurred. So that's just a general flat report in terms of what's been requested.
And the big goal here is to really increase awareness. You have all these IT departments, maybe human resources is costing you a lot of money just because they're doing things inefficiently. And so being able to do the show back kind of says, hey, you guys are costing us a lot of money, kind of think about your utilization. So, even if you're not really billing people, it can drive some best practices, drive some good efficiencies across your data center and organization.
So the next step to that is, as the enterprise starts to move to a cloud infrastructure, or let's say the public cloud with Azure, or even a service provider environment, the behavior has shifted in such a way that now we're more conscious about that we're actually requesting what we need and using what we requested. Because there's a cost associated with that, let's say per VM, per period of time, that if I over-request, then I'm racking up costs for my enterprise.
We're wasting money for our company.
Oh, wasting money, big time. So that's the step that we've been able to do. So what we're showing right now, if we go back to this chart that I've been walking through, I've gone through the business unit requesting services solely within my environment. Everything you see today is within Service Manager and within Service Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, and Operations Manager in my private cloud on premises. Now, the next step is, which you just asked about, is billing. Let's say I want to do a billing scenario or bill back. That's where we start to take advantage of the investments that our partners have made. And that's done within some of our partners that are going to be implementing solutions connected to our financial management system. And that's where we have partners that have their third-party connectors. We have some who are out there doing some of this work today. And then they connect to that financial management system. And then they basically surface this information through their web portals or through their third-party portals. And that's how I'm able to get billing information and cost or cost recovery back into my organization, back to IT, and that goes back into the service admin. Okay, so that's kind of the life cycle of how Service Manager, plays the role of chargeback in today's environment. So as I expanding, I think about expanding my data insights across clouds, and this is where I want to make sure that I'm providing the right information, and I'm providing information around what's being consumed, both on premises as well as maybe in some of my other environments that are out there today. And that's where we can use both on-prem solutions with Service Manager as well as our third-party solutions. So I'm able to capture a request that's come in from App Controller or Service Manager, and I can understand who has used it, why have they used it, what's been requested. I'm using Orchestrator to actually automate the provisioning of those resources, or even walk through the steps of who gets notified, when, where, and why, or what reports need to be provided to whom and when. So those are the types of things that we want to make sure that we capture, and that's done through, again, the CMDB is what the policy owner is in terms of that schema of who does what and who does it when. And then ultimately the reports can be surfaced in dashboards or through Excel.
Great.
Okay. So we also want to make sure that we measure the data center as it scales. And that's a big thing, because we think about capacity planning. That's all about understanding what do I need to do internally from an IT perspective. Again, looking internally to say what service requests have come in, what resources have been used, or what incidents or issues or problems have been surfaced. And that's when I want to make sure that Orchestrator is automating that process. I want to make sure that I'm capturing that information with Operations Manager through 360 degree monitoring, or taking advantage of what's on peak versus off peak. Because as you move to the public cloud environment, my costs vary based on time of day. No longer is it by whatever IT says it is. It's based on my service provider and whatever they define that price to be. So I want to make sure I'm mindful of what those costs are at a given time. And then again, the CMDB capturing those workflows, that knowledge, that chargeback information, et cetera.
Now, we had a good question that came in. Okay. So just a clarifying point here. Does chargeback report resources that are requested, or does it report resources that are actually used?
Great question. It is once they are requested, that timer starts ticking, chargeback comes into play. It's an allocation-based scenario at the moment, not utilization, or not usage. So it's not per usage, per amount of usage that's being done, but once you request the VM, whether you touch it or not, and I provision that resource for you, it is at that point in time, the charge is starting to be implemented.
Great.
All right, so let me take a look. Let's step in and take a look at what this looks like within Service Manager.
Now, as you're switching over here, I'm just going to ask, one question that I see come up a lot. And this is just an all-up system center question with regards to the licensing.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to go down a rat hole here on the licensing, so to speak. So really, kind of the big change that we made with System Center licensing in this release is that if you buy the Data Center Edition, you get all the System Center components. So this has changed from the past where you would buy VMM separately, Config Manager separately, Ops Manager separately. If you get System Center now, you get everything. So as you're kind of learning about, self-service through Service Manager, as you're learning about automation through Orchestrator, if you buy the System Center 2012 product, you get those for free. So we wanted to really reduce this barrier of adoption and get people using these self-service portals, using automation capabilities without having to worry about license. So don't worry, upgrade to System Center 2012. You're going to get everything that we're covering as part of this jumpstart.
Perfect. So one of the things that in a moment that we're going to show is within Service Manager, I want to go through what is the chargeback process for setting it up, as well as what can I get in terms of the reporting. And one of the reports that I want to show will be shown in Excel, and how we can show different slices of the data. As so long as you have access to that database, we can provide insight on any of that information. Okay. So if we step into the demo, one of the things that you'll notice here, I'm back in Service Manager. And within Service Manager on the left side, you'll see I'm on the Administration tab. Now what I've done, I've brought in what's called the Cloud Services Process Pack, CSPP for short. And that's where it really brings in the interconnectivity between Service Manager, Orchestrator. We also have some Orchestrator runbooks in there as well. But the chargeback mechanism also enabling information from VMM and Operations Manager. So you'll notice that chargeback has shown up here. And you'll notice it in a drop-down, and you'll see I have a number of clouds here. These clouds are consistent with what we see in VMM. And I see a number of clouds that are sitting there. Then you'll notice I have a bunch of price sheets. I have a section here for price sheets. I already have one created to reduce time. Let's go ahead and step into one of the price sheets, and I can show you exactly what these price sheets look like. And these are, you can create on your own and apply a number of different of parameters to them. So I have a Contoso price sheet that I've created. I see my price tab here, and I can apply a price to just a base price for the VM per day. I have cloud membership here. I then apply the price for my compute, my memory, and my storage. And I have applied some prices here. Additional pricing that I can see here is also in my high availability. I have a static IP price here, and expanding the VHD price per day is something that's additional, just purely optional, if you want to apply that within your environment. Whenever you create your price sheets, you want to make sure that you publish them first. So make sure that they're available and that they can be applied to whatever the clouds are that we're going to assign them to. So when we come to assigned clouds, you'll see that I've applied my management cloud to this. So within the VMM, I have a management cloud, and when we were on the All Clouds tab, you saw it there as well. So we're able to apply that information to it there. Once I click Apply, that price sheet is applied, it's synced up. Make sure that I have connectivity to both Virtual Machine Manager and Operations Manager, and I'm good. Once those requests go in through the Service Manager portal, end user comes in and requests the services. Once they're provisioned, it automatically kicks off. So now let me take a look at one of the chargeback reports. And here we are inside one of the reports is what we'll see here. And I can apply some information, apply some slices to this through pivots and through a number of different things around the top cost centers. What groups are the top cost centers within my environment? Who's requesting the most resources? Which clouds are being requested the most or being used the most? Who are my top users? Because I want to know, let's say a tenant has requested quite a bit of resources. I want to provide that information. Perhaps this helps me be able to scale as I think about what do I need to provision in the future. And then my top price sheets, which ones are being used the most. And then I can see some trending information about each of those as well. So this is a basic price sheet, or excuse me, a basic chargeback report that we've created within Excel. We have a number of different samples that are available through TechNet and through some of our blogs that are out there that you're able to get your hands on as well. I could take a deeper dive into some of the specific roles, and I want to know user number one. You use cloud number one. I want to see what are some information around the parameters and usage information that you've been allocated over time or per day or per resource, etc. I think I can then spread that out over a month as well. So this is a report that we've created and provided insight into, and IT provides this back to those groups who have requested those resources. So that's kind of the cycle that you'll see within chargeback and being able to configure, set that up and apply those prices to. Okay. So let's step back to the presentation and we'll continue to march forward.
Now, as you switch, I do have a question that came in that I can't answer. Maybe it's a bit of a specific scenario here, but with the case of automatic approvals, we have a customer worried that people are still going to abuse that system. They'll submit lots of simultaneous requests. Okay. They'll go over capacity, over allocation. What type of safeguards do we have in place to kind of prevent people from over capacity if we have some type of automatic approval?
So if you have automatic approval, which you can also do with the ability to create roles within Service Manager, as well as roles within VMM, that's another place where we can actually set up information for each user in terms of what can they actually request, what are their thresholds, so that they can't go above that without someone being notified, because that's what we care about. We care about key decision makers being notified when a user has reached capacity or reached its request threshold or reached the capacity of a resource, because we don't want them requesting 10,000 VMs and an enormous amount of storage and capacity without someone being notified. So that's where you can set that up within Service Manager as well as within VMM, within those VMs and clouds themselves.
Great.
Okay. So I'll continue to march forward. And again, as you have other questions, I'm happy to walk through those as well. So now we want to standardize how we deliver services and take a little deeper step into the actual components of service offerings, service requests, request offerings, et cetera, all the things that are going to be surfaced within the service catalog. Here I have my service and request offerings, and those can be a number of different things. Remember, those items that we saw in Service Manager, request a new VM, request or an extend a VM, destroy, decommission a VM. And then those all get input into, let's say I have those templates, and I have a template that can be applied to a number of request offerings. Those request offerings get dumped into the actual service offerings themselves. Then I apply the automation steps that we've seen in Orchestrator that goes through the assignment, goes through the notification, the approval, and then the fulfillment itself. But all of those things together in partnership with the self-service portal, the service catalog, the CMDB, and the runbooks provides this standardized service delivery that's automated in such a way that I can provide safeguards and oversight to my environment still. Okay? Again, walks through my service offerings, that how I can apply these work items to each of those requests, and that's how where I can specify the users as well when I want to think about which users are going to be requesting these services and how much capacity could they possibly provision, and that's why we create those service offerings for those different groups. So as I come into a service request or into the portal, I'm going to actually use the template and the request offering to surface that in the service catalog. And those types of services are very consistent with what we've been talking about thus far. And also, let's not forget that this actually gets extended out into the cloud as well, because now I have integration with Orchestrator into Azure and even some service provider environments that are out there. So again, you're going to see this on the portal where we can actually request those resources through the data center cloud services or through the private cloud infrastructure services. And then that's where we're going to be able to dive deeper into that and request those offerings upon based on the tenant or user role that's being provisioned at that time. Okay. So let me talk about some of those processes. That's something that comes up quite a bit in terms of service requests for change, incident, and release management. Those are some of the top ones that we seem to run into quite consistently. So when we think about release management, we apply a workflow to that. We think about change management, self-service, reporting and insights, as well as problem management are all housed within the CMDB. And then those processes are then tied to the ITIL processes that we're most familiar with. Again, we have service transition, where we're thinking about the release and deployment. We're also thinking about fulfilling the request through service operation. We have continual service improvements with service reporting. That's the insights that we have with Service Manager. And then problem and incident management are very big ones that we want to make sure that we're capturing and applying to a Service Manager as well. Amongst all of those, there are a number of different insights, a number of different processes that are out there. That there are approximately 26 that we want to be mindful of, and we really covered here about 5 or 6 of those that are really big for delivering services. But the value of that is all in being able to provide predictable service delivery and rapid remediation of issues, whether that be reactive or proactive, if we recognize that we're getting to some thresholds. Okay. So another area that we want to think about and change is really make sure that we're staying compliant in the environment, that we're updating our tool sets, and that any critical processes are being being monitored as well. Because as we have releasing products, releasing services back to the enterprise, or releasing applications, we need to make sure that our downstream systems and components are being updated as well, because that will help us to, again, minimize those errors, will be able to help us to provide more visibility for the organization back into what those problems may be. You asked me about release management. That is the consistent handoff between whatever that project or initiative or process is. Let's say if I'm releasing an application, and then what IT needs to do to manage that. And that process is maintained within the release management. And I have, within Service Manager, a release management task or some processes that I can follow or implement there. And these can be your unique processes that you're going to be implementing within your environment. Let me touch on service level agreements as well. This is where I really start to apply a timeline for what SLAs exist for my enterprise when I'm thinking about resolving incidents or provisioning service requests, provisioning cloud capacity, for example, or even I'm spinning up a new cloud. Each one of those has an expected timeline or framework for when IT needs to deliver that in an acceptable window. Again, that's going to reduce some downtime and increase productivity, and we want to keep that in mind, that we also bring that in, and that's where we apply calendars and different modules within each of the actual service requests themselves is where we can apply that information. Okay. If you think about incidents, incidents is also going to be the process of resolving those single issues that occur. But multiple incidents can be applied to a problem within Service Manager. Now, the CMDB is what's also very key for us here, because now I can capture repeatable processes for issues that occur all the time. Let's say I notice I've been having one of my components go down quite consistently. I've been able to have that spin back up because I've captured what needs to occur, and I don't need to manually go do that every single time. So the process for managing those incidents is definitely goes through the step of detecting and recording those issues, classifying what that problem is, investigating that process, which we've done in the initial steps, but now we can automate that, and then we have a faster time to resolution so that we can close that incident because we've seen it before. Okay, this is resonated with, and I do want to touch on this, that this is resonated through, whether it comes in through the self-service portal or through let's say Ops Manager, because our integration within Ops Operations Manager brings in that information and can automatically create an incident within Service Manager. So we want to make sure that we're capturing that part of the process as well. Now, when we think about resolving the problem, again, for instance, we have a problem that we've recognized has been thrown, and we're managing this within Virtual Machine Manager. We recognize the incident. There's a memory issue. For example, we have a number of different incidents that are applied to that, but we see the alert get thrown with an Operations Manager, and then again, back to Service Manager, and we know what to do with that information. Okay. Last section here I really want to touch on is OLA, which is Operational Insights. And this is really around what does IT need to do internally to make sure that we provide a better service or a better view of what's going on in the enterprise. So first thing is we have operational reports within Operations Manager. We didn't get a chance to touch on that here, but this is really around, let's say, some key reports that are out there around, let's say, host utilization. Host utilization reporting or forecasting reports on the host helps us understand what's being used. Have I reached capacity? What's the usage look like? Do I need to think about provisioning additional hosts? Do I think about procuring additional hardware? That helps me provide better infrastructure or provide information back to my infrastructure admins in terms of what they need to build. I can provide those trending reports back for my organization so I can make a better decision. Ultimately, what's going to happen with that is that those reports are going to be utilized in such a way that I can have a real-time view so that when my leadership asks me as IT owners, here's what I think we need to do and make a recommendation based on that latest and greatest information. Okay. So across what we've touched on today is definitely what is the outward view or data insights that I can provide back to the enterprise based on the SLAs that I'm going to be delivering. That's going to be chargeback report is going to be huge because I can use that in a number of different ways. One, in terms of the resources that I've consumed, who consumed those resources, perhaps why they consumed those resources. Then I'm going to standardize my service delivery in terms of what those service catalogs look like or my service templates as well as my request offerings and service offerings in such a way that the right folks are requesting the appropriate services. The right folks have the being monitored appropriately so that I'm not running away with resources being consumed by someone without approval. Then I'm going to be managing multiple processes. Think about the ITIL perspective in terms of incidents that are occurring, changes that need to occur within my environment as well. I can build those into my templates within Service Manager. And then I can provide insights in terms of what are the biggest service requests that have come in? What are the biggest issues that have come in? Why do I care about that? Because I can then apply proactive remediation to that and build out my infrastructure even more with that rich reporting.
Great. That was a great overview. And it's actually generated quite a few questions. Our support team's done a great job answering them, but just a few for you here. So, first of all, how well does Orchestrator work with managed service accounts? And so a managed service account, just for context, is let's say a account that you need to run to go and interact with SQL, interact with Exchange. It's kind of that application account. And one of the challenges that we've seen with those accounts in other programs is that they automatically update their password every 30 days. So basically, the question is Orchestrator aware of MSAs? Can you integrate MSAs? Will it continue to function even as those passwords and things are changed?
At some level, it will. And what we're actually bringing in is information around the user account, around the users. And we can specify who those users are because both Service Manager or, let's say, VMM is capturing that user information. Where you really want to capture what's happening with those users is really within the components themselves, maybe not within Orchestrator directly. Because what's going to happen is those users' policies are going to be set by IT or set by the admins, and you'll want to make sure that we're up to date with who those users are within the respective components, not necessarily within Orchestrator. Because Orchestrator is just bringing in that information from all of those other components. So we may be best to do that within each of the System Center components themselves.
Okay, great. And then the final question, this is almost a question around best practices here. You know, we have a customer that's already invested a lot in PowerShell. They've got a bunch of scripts. They've got a bunch of automation they're already doing with right. PowerShell. How can they go and tie this in with Orchestrator? Do they need to throw away their PowerShell scripts, rebuild from scratch, or what's the best solution?
No, not at all. Orchestrator has the ability, as we looked at some of those activities within Orchestrator, we can bring in the PowerShell scripts there as well. So we can start to apply some of that rich reporting, or I'm sorry, that rich scripting that we've done before. We don't lose that. So you can apply many of those scripts there as well. So Orchestrator can take advantage of what to kick off when, because we can bring in a PowerShell component.
So essentially, we're able to integrate PowerShell directly into existing workflows, cool
that
scripts, cool commandlets, everything like that.
Correct.
Awesome.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. That was a
no
great
problem.
Overview of really trying to understand, you know, this somewhat complicated middle area, right? You know,
yes.
How are we connecting all these different pieces to have a centralized view for management, incident, change, releases, things like that. So thank you. And with that, we're going to take an approximately 15-minute break. When we come back, Kenan's going to be rejoining us along with Bradley Bartz. And we're going to be discussing the Windows Azure Pack that allows us to deliver Azure-like services within our own private cloud. Thank you.